And from there, it just kind of blossomed into actually a whole project that we're ready now to jump into. And the rest of the guests here have always been part of the conversation, and we're going to continue the conversation as we go ahead and develop this Creative Technology Center.
So just to be clear, the Creative Technology Center helps media, movies, all kinds of things, music. So when we're talking about storytelling, it could be anything from commercials to movies to individual projects to music.
You're already promoting the center for us. You're absolutely right. There really is no limitation. So it's open to all residents. It's open to the film studios. You can produce movies, recordings. You can because technology is going to be the core of it. So anything that the technology can support, of course, there needs to be the creative element as part of this whole conversation. So if you're doing anything like robotics or animation, anything like that, we want to make sure that the technology is there. That it's not a barrier that we don't have the technology to be able to produce that and create.
Right, and even people can find jobs and vocations out of it.
Well, you know, this is part of the whole economic development, so job creation is actually a high priority in what we're trying to produce as an outcome of this project.
So it's a part of it. So there's Alan Tang, and you are really from Oahu, and you come back and forth a lot.
Yes, I do, yeah.
And Kepa Cruz, I can't help but smile when I say your name because I love you. Okay, tell us about you.
Aloha, KKCR listeners. My name is Kepa Cruz. Happy to be here to join such a talented group of people here to discuss media, storytelling, and you know, how we can use that as a tool to affect change, whether that's socially or environmentally. And I know a lot of listeners are out there have tuned in to Felicia's show for that exact purpose. So thank you for giving us the opportunity to discuss the Kauai Creative Technology Center. I see it serving as a 21st century hub for storytelling in multimediated formats, whether that's 3D printing, performing arts, robotics, film, audio. These are all various ways that we can create a message and send it out into the world.
And you are a child of both sides of the island, really. You grew up on, I want to say Hanalei, but also West Side and even Koloa, yeah?
Correct, yeah.
Right now, do you live in Koloa?
I live in Koloa with my father. I grew up out here in Hanalei. I was very fortunate to have experienced Hanalei and Hanalei school, you know, before the hurricane, yeah. After the hurricane, Iniki, and it was, you know, it was and is still a very magical place and a special place in my heart every time I come out here.
And you're a waterman, and am I correct? Your parents were on the Hokulea, is that right?
Yeah, both my mom and my dad were original crew members, 1976.
Awesome.
Right, yeah. So you have, you're a humble person, but you really come from a lot of knowledge in your upbringing, and you have come to express a lot of that in music. How many albums do you have now?
I have one album out, and I'm working on my second one right now, hopefully out by the end of the year. Huge thank you to KKCR and the listeners for playing my music and supporting me. You know, being able to do something that you're so passionate about and sharing it with people and having it be received is one of the greatest feelings that you can ever experience. As you know, a creative artist, whether that's in film and through music or whatever it is, you know, people who paint, whatnot, we're all trying to just tell a story that comes from a specific place, and feels great to have it be received. And this isn't my first time to KKCR, and so I'm happy to be back here, and I'm happy to share what I know.
Yeah, and then your parents were actually part of that Hawaiian Renaissance, so you really have that exposure to, I want to say activism, frankly, activism and education, and then also you were a peer to a lot of the most amazing surfers that the North Shore has put out.
Correct.
You and I used to have the surf team, and
correct.
Are you in the same grade as Dustin Barca?
Yeah, Dustin,
yeah.
Danny Fuller,
Roy,
Roy Powers, Jesse Monroe Jones. We got to watch Bruce and Andy come up, and just amazing, amazing, talented group of men and women, Cala Kennelly, you know, being surrounded by those types of people were just an awesome inspiration for who I am today.
Yeah, Youth Roots.
Youth Roots.
Youth Roots.
Absolutely.
That's what we got in the studio with us. Okay, and Serge, you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure. My name is Serge Marcel, so I live in Lihue. Moved to Kauai about 6 years ago, and my background is quite different than Kepa's. Actually, I'm from Montreal, so the French accent. And for over 25 years, actually worked as a director in commercial television. So originally out of Montreal, but then out of LA, worked on various television programs. So mostly documentary stuff, but for, you know, big broadcasters and networks. And about 6 years ago, just decided that we were talking about that coming here in the car. Decided that, okay, there was more to life than trying to get ratings and things like that. And basically, I feel like the last 25, 30 years has been an apprenticeship for me, and now I'm ready to actually express creatively. So moved to Kauai, and I would say 80% of the time the hat that I wear is that of an independent producer. I'm doing my own little projects that are anchored in the Aloha Spirit. Really, that's my main focus.
You did one youth project recently, right? Can you tell us what those were?
Well, just recently, so this week, that was in the paper in the Garden Island, we just basically give there's this, of course, this project that is taking place in elementary school called the Aloha Peace Project. So I videotaped the volunteers. Basically, it's not just about bullying. It's what the Dalai Lama would call education of the heart.
Bullying was the word that you used.
Bullying, yeah. But so the Aloha Peace Project goes beyond that. It's actually about ethics. It's about
citizenship.
It's growing responsible, and it's starting them at a young age. I almost refer to what I did before as a previous life. In my previous life, I worked at the Canadian MTV for 6 years, and I had the privilege of actually doing a documentary with the Dalai Lama, and he basically introduced me to this term, educating the heart. And basically, the Aloha Peace Project is all about that. It doesn't matter how technical the brain gets, if at the root of it you are using the technology for greed or for anything like that, well, then you're not more advanced. So the Aloha Peace Project is one of these projects that I... So for this one, though, I did not initiate this project. I was just asked and invited to basically help put it together. But there's been many other projects. So one that I've been working on for the last 3 years involves the member of the Kauai Junior Lifeguard team. I have two little girls, and they're part of that team. So that's one. And there are many others. We just recently completed a small documentary, 30 minutes, that we submitted to the Hawaii International Film Festival. So I don't know if it will come and show.
What's that one called?
That was about the Ne'ewili'uli Bay. So it's called Ne'ewili'uli Bay, Past, Present, Future. And that project is all about the work and basically all the love that is for that particular area in Lihue, that, you know, that is witness of great changes over, you know, that has witnessed a lot of changes over the last, you know, like many decades, as seen through the eyes of youth. So I would say probably most of the projects I do are always youth-oriented, and it's always... So that's the hat that I wear, I would say, probably 80% of the time. I also want to say that I teach at KCC.
Hawaii Community College.
That's right, and digital media arts. So right now I teach digital photography, but we're working hard at basically, we're talking about storytelling and basically mentoring the next generation and giving them the tools to express creatively. Well, KCC, Kauai Community College, does that really well. So, yeah.
Well, so thank you for all of that.
Yeah.
And then Rusty Feraldi. Am I saying your name right?
Yes, you are. That's
okay.
Perfect.
So tell us a little bit about you.
Aloha, and thank you for having me on the air. And the first thing I'd like to say is I'd like to say aloha to my friends on the West Shore, the West Side and the South Side. I want to say aloha to Auntie Aletha, big aloha to Elwood Machado, because if it wasn't for Elwood, I wouldn't be sitting here today. He has introduced me to a lot of incredible people that opened an incredible amount of doors so that folks could get to know what I do and what I am offering. Currently, I'm the academic director for the Kauai Recording Workshop, the Kauai Island Recording Workshop, where we just graduated our first graduating class, And it's a workshop program that is involved in giving the candidate a solid foundation to and demystified approach to the digital audio workstation. I teach microphone theory, MIDI theory, and audio post-production, sound for film. And we just graduated our first class, and Mark, I'd like to send a big mahalo and aloha to Mark Jeffers. This is being taking place at the
Storybook Theater
in Hanapepe, and Mark was incredibly gracious with his time and equipment to allow me to bring this program forward.
And I've looked at the description of your program, and that is one whether somebody is a recording artist themselves, if they're writing songs and doing music, it would be a lot of value to them. Also, if they were wanting to work in doing sound to help events.
Absolutely. This, again, like I said, it gives them a solid foundation in understanding the mics that we're even talking through right now, an interesting story about these mics, and in approaching the proper microphone to pick for the proper subject that they're going to be recording, understanding the polar patterns of those microphones, the frequency response of those microphones, then understanding the musical digital interface, which is MIDI, musical instrument digital interface, and how MIDI is integrated in the studio, and how it's basically, you have to understand MIDI to be successful in your studio.
So a person could go and spend a month, 6 weeks with
six
you,
weeks.
And they would be a lot more prepared for their own projects or for being able to splice cords together.
Absolutely.
And do things like
absolutely.
That's the
whole idea. And the demystification of this technology is what I centered and how I wrote the curriculum, because I didn't want the program to be a Pro Tools program or a Nuendo program or a digital performer program. What I wanted to do was to teach the terminology and nomenclature so that that candidate can sit behind almost any digital workstation and understand what's being thrown at.
And am I remembering correctly, Graham Nash deserves a shout out?
Oh yeah, oh, absolutely. If it wasn't for Mr. Nash, we wouldn't have the equipment that we're working with over there. He threw a wonderful and very gracious contribution to the Storybook Theater. We had all of this equipment to work with, and everything that, and anything that they didn't have, I supplemented out of my own recording facility to supplement the rest of the equipment there.
And Graham is one of our Wainiha residents who has had a pretty illustrious career. Crosby, Stills and Nash is one of his bands, and he does it on his own and with different mixes, including Neil Young. So he's been a help to KKCR and so many of our projects, too. This all reminds me of Hawaii Community Foundation's slogan that I steal all the time because I think it's a great Molbetta together, because it is how we bridge all these different skill sets, whether it's coming from Malaysia or Canada or California, but I hear some East
New
Coast
York,
in there.
California,
New York, okay.
Nashville.
Okay.
I was a session musician in the late 80s, and from there on, I've been into an incredible amount of recording studios and situations with a plethora of different people.
So we get all kinds of people coming together to build solutions for here, and I have another homegrown boy in the room, my son Ian Cowden.
Hello.
Oops, let me
see, he has me muted. Mic 4.
Mic 4.
Right there, it's not lit.
Hmm.
There
okay.
you go. I think that's it. That's not it.
Tap it.
Mic for.
It's on. Don't tap the mic.
Oh, she God, told me to tap. I should know better.
Don't tap the mic.
I don't know if it's working.
Really?
It's
no,
not
you're
bad.
Not. You should.
Yeah.
What you really should do, you should do this to the mic. You scratch it.
All right. I learned something new.
Because if you tap it, you're compressing the diaphragm, and you could ruin
the
perfectly good microphone.
Okay.
Two.
Stan corrected me.
There we go.
ACR is strengthened. Okay. So, Ian.
It's kind of working. Oh, yeah.
That's it. You're on.
There you go.
It's hot.
All right, I just need to take off this.
So Ian's a budding musician, too. And
I should have known better. Oh, well.
You got to take my class.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I do sound for a couple band, or mostly just one band. That's not my first rodeo. Me and my bandmate slash roommate slash best friend. we are their main sound people, and our last gig they had was at the Taste of Hawaii.
And how was that? Taste of Kauai, I think.
Taste of...
Was it Taste of Hawaii?
Taste of Hawaii, I thought. Anyways.
It tasted good.
The sound was good. It sounded good. There was a little bit of power malfunctions with the breaker. Not the generator, but the breaker they had. They do break a lot, but anyways, it was fun. I do hope to get better. I wish I was not gone from Kauai for so long. I'm going to be gone in Wyoming for about 5 months.
But the Taste of Kauai, that's like another really great thing that's done. That's the, I believe, the Kapa'a Rotary just put on an event this past Sunday to help with education scholarships. So there's so many different ways where we're all helping each other out. So, this is our background. This is what's going on here. And when it comes down to telling good stories and what is going around us, on this show, very often what we're talking about is social justice and...
it is Taste of Hawaii.
Taste of Hawaii, okay. I stand corrected. We tend to do environmental justice, different issues that are important. And I think that what we see as we're doing stories is how different people's viewpoints are. I know I am. This show is very supported by Facebook. And so it almost seems like a completely different conversation that's going on. Ellen, did you make it to the Chamber of Commerce luncheon today with the governor?
Yes. And so did Serge. And it was great. I think, the governor had a lot of things to report on. But what was really interesting was that in the middle of it, he actually shouted out digital media and pointed out Kevin Matsunaga's, which is really awesome, recognizing the amount of work that Kevin has done with CHIFAS and a lot of the other students and schools here in the community. But specifically, he shouted out to digital media as one of those priorities that could be an economic engine. And, you know, we couldn't be more supportive of that concept. But, you know, when you mentioned about people coming together, the last 4 years I've been working on this project, that's exactly what I've seen in this community. You know, the people of Kauai has come up and offered different ideas, suggestions, and shared their needs, shared their aspirations, which is really wonderful. And I think, the fact that I'm here with these three gentlemen and with you talking about it is really an evidence of people coming together and sharing. And I think through that coming together, you said more better together. And that's really, really true. And I think, I think that might be true in elsewhere on a continent. I've done a lot of community projects there as well. But there's something special here in Hawaii, and it probably even more special here on Kauai. And so that's what really has been the strength of this project. At the end of the day, this is just a building. It's not just a building, but it's going to be a very special building. It's going to have a lot of equipment in there. But it's what the people will do when they're inside this facility.
And we might not have really explained what that building is. There's a building right next to the existing War Memorial Convention Hall that's being proposed. It's kind of a multi-million-dollar building that is going to be a studio, correct?
Right. So the journey to this place, we actually had looked at 17 different locations on 14 different sites. To find the best location, the best, we had looked at the existing facilities to see if we can renovate. We had looked at raw land that we can develop. And every of those opportunities had various considerations. And of course, cost is going to be an issue. Timing is an issue because everybody that I've talked to wanted to have this facility, yesterday, and we don't want to wait another 15, 20 years before this happens. All our kids will be all grown and left the island by that time. So we wanted something that would be a little bit more expedient that we can carry out. And so after doing all of that discovery and investigation, what we came across was really the convention hall. There's 9 acres there. We were able to carve out a little bit of land actually next to the convention hall. And the reason for that is that as we explored the location, we also found out that there's some synergies that we can create with the convention hall, especially if we built right next to it. What the beauty of this is that not only are we able to provide the island of Kauai this facility, but we can also improve on the convention hall itself.
Yeah, so there's a lot going on there. Serge, did you have something you wanted to say?
I just want to actually stress again the fact that what's really, to me, what's exciting about this project, but what's exciting about, I feel, what's happening is that collaborative effort. The technology allows someone like myself to create a film all by myself. I can be a one-man band. I can shoot it. I can direct it. I can do the audio and everything. But it will never be as good as a project that has collaboration. For example, last year, Kippa and I collaborated on this short that actually was showcased at the OI International Film Festival, and Kippa wrote the music. When I got his tracks, I was like, you don't know that, but I was doing cartwheels in at home because it was so good. And to me, the center or even a project like yours would be...
Means Rusty's?
Yes. It's amazing because my Achilles, my weakness in video production is audio. So
well, that's usually, that's not uncommon because the film and directors that I've worked with, it's kind of interesting because it's usually the last thing that's thought of with film directors and editing. And one of the things that I would always say to a director is that an audience will sit through a bad movie with great sound, but they're not going to sit through a great movie with bad sound. So, and that's why, I've done...
That's probably true.
No, it's extremely true. the sound has to be there to deliver the image, and if the sound is not in line with delivering the image, that's when people get up and walk out.
And I think that's where, bringing people together, and I think when you have the great story to tell, you want to make sure that you have all of the technical elements so that the story will be well received. And that's one of the objectives of this center, is so that we are able to bring people together. So when you have a great story, the lines that go into it, the sound, the visuals, all of that is so important for it to come together. I think the big productions, they have all of the resources. But when we come to a community like this, we want to make sure the resources are available, as well as training and equipment.
Now, you're forwarding this program, and you hope to open the doors in 2 years, 3 years?
3 years, 4 years, depending on the flow.
That's interesting. And what kind of tuition are you thinking about?
We can't talk about money.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This is public radio,
never mind.
Can't talk about tuition anywhere. Can't talk about money. You can't even use the word FREE, because that is almost money. So I do want to say one thing, because I'm expecting a call coming up too. Is that when I was bringing up the governor's luncheon, I heard from a couple people who went, and it was a really warm and pleasant, fun luncheon with no controversy whatsoever. No demonstrators, nothing on the outside of it. But people who attended were surprised, and this is where the disconnect is. There was, I guess there was one question about marijuana dispensary, and then that was answered, but there was no discussion of issues like homelessness or Mauna Kea pesticides, the whale sanctuary, sovereignty, all these issues that are, come up on this show over and over and over again. And so I know, I've gone to see Brian Schatz. I've gone to see our different legislators speak at the event that we were at. And it's like we live in two different worlds. And for me on this show, I am hearing the angst that's in the community. And I go and I listen to our leaders and I think, are we in the same place? The county council, though, by the way, deals with angst. But in the other layers, it's almost like it doesn't even exist. Sir, did you have something to say?
Well, I will only speak for myself because I was there at the governor's luncheon today. So different people have, different people basically have different missions. For me, I've, and for better, for worse, and I mean, I follow my course, and that's all that matters. To me, I've decided to focus on the Aloha spirit, and I've decided to focus on positive role models. And rather than pointing fingers personally, and I'm not saying that's the right way, because, because who knows what life would be if it wasn't for, like, maybe more radical elements, pointing fingers and, you know, and really protesting hard. But for me, the way I see my role is really showcasing. I have two daughters, and instead of saying, don't do this, I always say, why don't you do that? And try to showcase the positive role, the model. So it was not personally. I have big concerns. I'm a Kauai resident. But I've decided in the project that I do, and it's an individual personal choice, to focus on basically addressing these issues by
focusing on
the positive.
There's that fine line in there. So, like, for the person who does not have a home, right? It's like a little difficult for them always to focus on the positive when they have no place to put their head down. But where I'm bringing that into this discussion here is that if you tell the story right, you can bring awareness to the person who doesn't connect with the message. You know, it's like how you tell the story,
so,
because everybody has empathy. Everybody, I think we all come from the same place. We all care about this place. And so how the message is told, just like maybe somebody likes rap and somebody likes classical, you got to find the way to bring the message into them the way that they're able to receive it. And so having these different skills, it's really a coming together instead of a distance. You are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. This is Felicia with Kauai Soapbox. I've got a really interesting panel of people in here, and I have a caller on the line. Aloha, thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Aloha, Felicia. First of all, from last week, I wanted to make clear that euthanasia, the reason I was upset with that phrase is, why don't they make it youth in Europe or youth in America? And it's to mean death, right?
Okay, right.
And your compadre looked at, oh, it's a Greece thing that says euthanasia, you know. Hey, I'm not comfortable with euthanasia meaning death. So now that we've covered that, I wanted to say that this, what you got today, is pretty cool, man. I mean, Kauai has a lot to offer.
Yes,
tons to offer. And maybe if we all can get rich making it in the film industry or music industry or writing, you know? I mean, we are an artistic community. Anybody that's lived here for a long time, you know, they bear their heart and soul to this community. So, kudos, Felicia. Good show.
Thank you. And in alignment with what you're bringing up, this is economic development. I'm just going to call it out for that. It is economic development in a way that I feel like has a relatively light footprint, you know, and it is allowed to go in whatever direction. Though, on the euthanasia thing,
look at all the artists that make music or the writers that write plays or, you know, the whole thing. And if they're bringing in technology that helps us look more professional out there, hey, more better to them.
We have an incredible cast of talented people all over this island from all different walks of life.
Exactly. That's one of the things. Hello, caller. This is Rusty. One of the things that I notice is that the rich arts community here, and that's what motivated me to put my program together, was...
Mahalo, brother.
Well,
Mahalo.
And for me, it wasn't about looking to see how much I could get. It was about what could I give. Seriously, I mean, in my personal studio, I've worked for everything from poke to fish. A guy couldn't... No, really amazing talented singer-songwriter, couldn't afford the rate. I said, hey, look, bring me a mahi. Guy brought a mahi. And I said, great, you're in. Let's go.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the way we should be doing things. And
I agree. I totally agree. And
we're already making strides.
You know, if we can make ourselves as an island become, you know, if you can get on your computer and make a living, how much more better? And then no imprint, you know? I mean,
So thank you, caller. That is a really important point. And then just to address your first thing, next week I believe we are going to hear a little bit of the counter perspective on
what's that about?
So that'll happen next week. That's a big issue to a lot of people here, so I'm allowing it on the air. But thank you.
Okay, Felicia.
Okay.
You take care.
Aloha.
Bye.
You know, I kind of want to address that. I think the root or the motivation for this project has come from economic development. But, you know, in the whole process, you know, it's not just about making money or making something commercial. It is really the right to expression. And we need to support that. And we need to do that really, really well. And, you know, in the last 4 years, just talking to various people, and I think there's a lot more people I need to meet and get to know. I keep hearing all these wonderful stories that really need to be out. But, you know, all I'm doing is just creating the ways and means for folks that want to do that to have the ability to do that. You know, I know we're not supposed to talk about money, but, you know, we're going to find the best ways that finances won't be a barrier. You know, the equipment won't be a barrier. The resources won't be a barrier. And we have to be very creative. I mean, we don't have all of the answers right now, but I think if we put all of our brains together, if we are united by that one common vision, to be able to enable people to be able to tell the story, and they can change not only the lives of the community, but perhaps even the life of the storyteller, then I think we would be successful.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to give a shout-out to Hoike right now. KKCR and a show like this is about bringing the local voice that doesn't have any ethnicity in that, the voice, the community voice, onto the air. Hoike does a very similar thing with television. And so people can make a video that is expressing a viewpoint. They can have fun with it. They can get creative with it. And whether it's made in your studio, Rusty, or Hoike even has a little studio to help people put it together. It can go on public access television as long as it's not like a commercial.
Right, right.
And sometimes that can just be played on the air here. As long as it doesn't need the visuals, that's something that can work here. And certainly through social media. And we see people making money on YouTube. Really, they make money on YouTube. You can have a whole voice. People are getting lazy. They like to watch it rather than just read it anymore. And music really makes a difference in how that message is conveyed. And so I'm so excited about what music brings us to all of our awareness.
Well, one of the things I wanted to say was now more than ever before, sound is as malleable as clay. And even back in the day when we were doing audio post, you had a post table where you married the soundtrack to the film. It's a lot of times films that were coming to the market were delayed by years because they couldn't get the sound done. One that comes to mind is the movie Big with Elizabeth Taylor and Rock Hudson. It took them, after they were done filming it, it took them 2 years to bring it to the market because it took 2 years to finish the soundtrack. So now, it's what do you want? When do you want it by? When do you need it? And that's a double-edged sword because you need to become very affluent in your platform to be able to deliver them.
What's the minimal age for people to attend your...
I would have to say, if there is a mature 11, 13-year-old, I once saw this. A friend of mine that I work with musically in Florida sent me a clip of a young girl running a Akai 3000 sampler, putting together a whole music construction with a sampler. She couldn't have been 10 years old. And she is working this machine expertly. Now, if someone is mature enough to understand the information, then there is no limit. And it's all about, it's a lot about maturity to be able to sit. I have to say that some aspects of microphone theory, you're better off watching wallpaper. You know, some of this stuff can be very dry, so it takes a mature person to sit and understand it. But when I'm lecturing, I usually am rather animated in my lecture, and I make it a lot of fun for the listener. Good.
I was just trying to get you to put your face on the mic. He should know that. There we go. Testing 1, 2, 3. So, lots of fun things. Kepa?
Yeah, Rusty, to echo what you're saying, you know, the landscape of media, both digital and analog, is changing. You know,
it's not analog anymore. That's for sure.
Well, we're in a we're in a time where all these tools are available, and just as you said, the knowledge that comes with being able to utilize them and to understand them in a way that we can use them as a tool to create the projects that we hear in our heads,
sure,
or that we have in our hearts. And that's kind of what the Kauai Creative Technology Center is, the vision for this site. It's a 21st century hub in all aspects of storytelling, whether that's through robotics, 3D printing, and whatnot. And I think about Polynesians specifically as very inspired storytellers. We had hula, tattoo, chanting, petroglyphs, canoe building. All these things were artistic expressions that came from a community of people with a limited amount of technology, as opposed to what we have today. And so,
or maybe a limited amount of resources. It was a Stone Age culture because we didn't have metal. It was just stones.
Yeah, absolutely. And the difference between then and today is staggering. There's never been a better time to create media because of the tools that are available. And so beyond the idea of just training individuals, young people, to be able to use this stuff, you have a whole gamut of applications which exist in beyond artistic expression. You have the Kauai Creative Technology Center actually is a place for people to tell stories.
So, Kepa, I didn't expect you to know as much as you do about the Creative Technology Center. So are you working with Alan?
Absolutely.
How do you know everything? Okay.
Absolutely. I'm it's a place that I wish that I had when I was younger. And when I learned about this project, I realized that one of the fastest ways to affect change on the island is through education. And so for me, this is an educational resource for Kauai.
So you are like on the staff, or you're just a supporter of the project?
I guess I would say I'm part of the steering council. Yes. I haven't been as involved as the people that have been working on this for a long time.
So where the project is at right now is we don't have any staff. We're just still developing the concept. We hope to have staff, fairly soon, so we can move towards, building capacity. But it's folks like Kepa who have come out and volunteered their time, volunteered their heart and their manao, really, so that we can have all information we need, so we can have the guidance to move forward as we continue developing the project. And it's been pretty amazing in how folks have just, called up when they see the newspaper article, anything like that, wanting to get involved. And this is a great time to get involved. I mean, we just got the land from the county. We just got a grants and aid grant from the legislature to start the whole funding cycle. So this concept is actually now becoming real. And so this is the right time, the best time for everybody to come together and get involved so that you can have a voice in what this project will eventually become.
So, Kepa, are you building the canoe down there too at No Willy Willy?
That's part of what my father is working on. Namahoy has been it's been part of this community for about 15 years.
Yeah.
And I still remember the day that my dad had the dream, and he woke up the next morning and said, I dreamed of this canoe, and I saw it in my dreams, and I woke up and he had this sketch of what it was, and 15 years later, it's nearly completed. Actually, the final stages are just coming together. It looks like they're going to be probably going in the water pretty soon, within a month.
So is that being documented? Like, to me, that's a story waiting to be told. Is anybody working on that one?
I'm not exactly sure. I know Serge has shot a couple of things. Now I'm not going to call anybody out here, but now that the canoe is nearly finished, there's a lot of people coming out and saying, hey!
Can I be one of them?
Let me help you out here! And people are like, oh, let's go to Tahiti, let's go to Fiji. And my dad's biggest thing from the beginning has been, canoe is not just a canoe. Canoe is a floating classroom. It's a place for people to come to learn and to be a part of their culture, be a part of the ocean, be part of all these different things. And so it's very much a metaphor for our island community. That was one of the conversations we had in the car as we drove out here. This island is very much like a canoe. We're all here together. We all share the same resources. And we all have a common vision, is getting to the future in a sustainable, and respectable manner. And so I'm really proud of my dad for the work that he's done, you know, not only over the last 15 years, but maybe the last 40 years being a part of the Polynesian Voyaging Society and whatnot. So just happy to be a part of it, and it serves as an inspiration for me. And while I may not have dedicated as much time as he had into the canoe project, I see my path more in terms of how do we get the school systems to become a part of this. And one thing that's happening right now is the worldwide voyage, Malama Honua. And that's a 3-year journey, starting from Hawaii, circumnavigating the globe.
Mm-hmm, right. And Namahoy, that's a star name, right? All these canoes have star names. I mean, to me, there's so much beautiful teaching and learning, and just like those metaphors are really excellent at building bridges.
Mm-hmm. The aim of Malama Honua is the worldwide voyage, spreading the message of peace and aloha. And the idea is that once we circumnavigate, well, not we, but once the many different people circumnavigate the globe and return back to Hawaii in 3 years, we will have effectively created an island or a worldwide community. It is no longer Polynesian, but Omnisian. Not just many seas, but all the seas.
Oh, I like that. I'm going to look up Polynesian Voyaging Society to see if they are tracking that. They are, right?
They are. And if you want, if you're in schools or if you want to check it out with your families, I invite you to go to hokulea.org, hokulea.org, and you can look at the exact GPS coordinates for what it is, where it is right now. I believe they're heading up above Australia. They're going to be coming up into West Java. They're going to the Indonesian Ocean, over to the Indian Ocean, and then around around Africa, up through the Atlantic, across the East Coast, down through the Panama Canal, and back through to Hawaii.
It's a beautiful voyage, and a handful of my friends have been on part of it. You are listening to KKCR, Hanalei, K-A-Q-A, Kilauea. In this studio with me is Rusty, Serge, Alan, and Kepa, and we are all talking about digital storytelling. And my darling son, Ian Cowden, is helping me on the phones. We've been having a lot of phone activity with shy people who don't seem to actually want to get their voice out there. So it's 826-7771. And if you have an idea that is something that would be a good story to tell, or a way that you feel like you can flow into this, because what one of the reasons I have Serge and Rusty in here is that they are two avenues, including Kauai Community College, where this is already underway. There's a number. I'm even going to give a shout out to Kirk Smart, who is my son's teacher, and Philip Steinbacher from Island School. There's so many. The Hawaii Children's Theater, oh my gosh, they do amazing things. So we're going to hear about Hot Tuna coming, and then we'll probably take a call.
Buffalo Records presents the legendary Hot Tuna on June 20th at Kauai Community College Performing Arts Center, 7 p.m. Yomer Kakonen, Jack Cassidy, original members of Jefferson Airplane, will be sharing their passion for traditional American music. Tickets available at Hanalei Strings and Things, Kauai Music and Sound, Small Town Coffee, Scotty's Music, Progressive Expressions, and at buffalorecords.com. More info at 808-386-1783. Hot Tuna on June 20th.
And mahalo for listening to Kauai Community Radio.
Last caller, can you please call back? Sorry about the inconvenience.
Hey, and while we have this little break, I want to give a big shout-out to Kaoli Lee. Did I do that already? He's amazing. 18-year-old man who I've known since well before he was born. And he did help rescue from the ocean 3 women that got swept out at Queen's Bath in Princeville, a place where many, many people lose their lives. So that is like a really wonderful example of youth doing great things. Last week we had a little discussion of some bad behavior. And we get a lot more good behavior, really. The norm is good behavior, but he's the son of a fire captain, and Kaoli, we're proud of you. Thank you, thank you. We have a caller. Aloha, you're on the air. Thank you for holding.
Hi, this is Joe. This is great, organizing the island and getting people, especially in the arts or whatever. But there's something that really is very badly needed. I'm a member of CERT, Community Emergency Response Team. And the fire department has a recruitment program for that, and they do their very best. But it is such a wonderful thing if people know what to do when a disaster hits. And if you could make a story or a video or a movie in regard to that, pertaining to Kauai, with people's input from Aniki, you know, or other places, I think that would be really great. I'm going to hang up and listen.
Okay. Well, I agree with that one.
I would love to see that come from our island youth.
That would be a really good one. And in alignment with that, and we are talking about a saving from a drowning. There was a young man who saved his own father based on the film that he saw in Baggage Claim that was put out. And he followed that. I don't know if CERT did that or not, or if it was just the Lifeguard Association, but he was able to utilize the skills that he watched and saved his father at Lepa'uli Beach. Aloha. Thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Aloha.
Hey.
I just wanted to say that I really, really appreciate the program today. I think education of the public is such a vital, vital thing that we can do. And there are so many really talented people, as they've pointed out already. And I loved what Kepa said about the educating. There are a couple of groups that are doing films here on the island. We just wrapped up one for the Honeybee Project. Sunday we finished that. We finished the filming, but it's got a long ways to go yet before we're able to release it. But the thing is that there is an opportunity here for so much to be done in a way that reaches out in a positive mode to bring people into a greater awareness of everything from the Aina to the water to farming, you know, good, healthy, organic farming. All of that is able to come across much easier if it's done in a way that is artistic and light and enjoyable. And so I think the film, and then of course it reaches out into the social media too, which is a adjunct part of that. In fact, I was in a meeting most of this morning discussing similar subject. But what I also wanted to bring forward on this program is, and it's somewhat related, is that tomorrow morning at the county council there is going to be a review of a new resolution that has been put forth in regard to campaign reform, which I think is really important because a lot of the issues that come up are somewhat in our face because of the fact that big money has affected elections and candidates, and to the extent that the common people don't often have a voice and therefore need to rely on films and the kind of education that you're talking about.
So I
hope everybody gets behind the council.
So can I help you with that a little bit?
Because
yes, it
you
might
may.
Be a little
sure.
vague, and I just looked it up while you're speaking. So this is a resolution urging Hawaii's congressional delegation. That means that's bigger, it's statewide. Mm-hmm. So the resolution doesn't mean it's a law. or an ordinance, it means, hey, we're making a recommendation to address excessive campaign spending by proposing and passing amendments clarifying that corporations are not people with constitutional rights, in particular, electoral rights, and that unlimited campaign spending is not free speech. So what, just to help people if they're not that on all the politics, is there was a U.S. Supreme Court decision called Citizens United that said corporations are allowed to spend unlimited amounts in elections for free speech. And so this, when the people come to talk about this, this is something much larger than the county level. This is really working with, there's a number of organizations that are looking at it. It's called Citizens United versus the Federal Election Committee. And this is specifically named in this resolution, and it is, I'm kind of flipping through it here real quickly, but there's groups called Move to Amend, and Common Cause. There's a number of groups around the country that are working to make a constitutional amendment. And so it's asking the state to take a position on this. So whether that comes through the legislature or comes through a constitutional convention, this is the kind of discussion. So this would be tomorrow at the county council, which is in the old historic building. I see it's introduced by Kipu Kai and Joanne Yukimura. And this is, this copies of this resolution will go to Senator Brian Schatz, Senator Hirano, Reps Takai and Tulsi Gabbard, as well as the mayor and the governor and our local legislators.
And you do have another caller.
Okay.
So thank you. Thank you for this program, because I think this has been a major way that people can get their voice heard. And, mahalo nui loa.
Okay, mahalo nui loa. And I will see you at the county council tomorrow, because I am of the opinion that that's important. So, I mean, a lot of everything they do there is important. I'm not I'm not dissing on any other thing.
Can I cut in for a minute?
Okay.
As this caller, are you working with Fred Dent?
Fred Dente.
Fred Dente?
I already cut him off.
Oh, okay. Okay. Bummer. No worries. We'll take the next call. Aloha, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, I had a good idea regarding spreading community awareness.
Sure.
In regard to the proposed dairy farm at Mahalapu.
Okay.
Grove Farm has been proven in the past to just not be trustworthy, and I think it wouldn't have to be a film per se, but maybe a short documentary or a short little YouTube clip with folks that used to live at the Grove Farm, Kaloa Camp, residents of Kaloa Camp, and how they were deceived into believing that it was going to be affordable housing, and that project has been, it hasn't gone forward, and they, you know, used the houses for SWAT practice. It would be a great way to kind of open up the public's eyes to how deceptive the Grove Farm folks are.
Okay, and then so, in all fairness, you know, that's something I should probably ask Grove Farm about, with SWAT practice, really? I don't know. That's interesting to hear. Kepa, do you have something to say?
Yeah, I think a short film would be a very powerful way to build awareness for community issues. You know, caller is definitely right. You know, a lot of stuff goes down on this island and people just don't know about it. Specifically, what's happened down in Kaloa, you know, it's been almost 3 years.
And you lived there, right?
And I did live there.
One of those that got moved
out. I am, and so I'm probably not a good person to answer this question, because I'm probably biased. But, you know, what I will say is that I'm extremely grateful to have grown up there, and I do wish that communities like that can be preserved in the future. You know, I held on to a lot of anger for a long time regarding what had happened. And it was my hope that, you know, whether whoever it may be would always follow through on what they promise. And, you know, a lot was promised and not a lot was done. So, caller, I absolutely understand where you're coming from. And I do think that, you know, short videos that could be posted on YouTube or social media can be vessels to affect positive change within our community. Absolutely. So thank you very much.
Thank you for calling. Aloha, you're on the air. Did I lose my caller? Okay. Aloha, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm going to be very, very brief.
Okay.
All I need to say is, what Grove Farm Company did was totally not Pono. And what happens often, though, is that Grove Farm Museum is confused with Grove Farm, the company, and we need to make sure we separate them because one is very Pono and one is not.
Okay.
And they're two separate entities.
Thank you. When you hear me pausing, I have been dressed down just in lunch this afternoon for people call in and say harsh things about another entity. And, you know, for Kauai Soapbox, the point is people to be able to express their viewpoint. And then people go, you let people say something gnarly and you don't.
Oh, no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that at all. You're fine.
I'm saying other people say I'm not fine.
I'm just letting the community know through my voice that there are two separate Grove Farm entities.
That's right.
One is the museum. Historical museum, and one is the corporation.
That's right. They're two very different entities, and I need to get Grove Farm in here. I, by the way, have asked them a number of times. I need to ask them.
The corporation?
Yeah, because I try and bring in the people who are also on the hot seat. Last week I did have the executive director and the president of the board from the Humane Society because there is a lot of concern about what's happening with our animals. And so I will, and Grove Farm, if you're listening right now, call me, 652-4363, and you can come in here and talk about it. Because there are many people who are very unhappy with actions that are being taken, and if there's a misunderstanding, it's really good to come in and clarify it. I do want to give a shout-out to Grove Farm in this moment for offering 5 acres to a youth drug rehabilitation plan, location.
That's
so
it.
That is an example of something good that they're proposing. But thank you so much for calling.
You're very welcome. Aloha.
Aloha.
I think an important point to raise, not just specifically targeting certain people or corporations, is that when we all live on an island, I really feel like accountability is the main focus. And to retain that positivity on the show without getting negative, I think, you know, all of us need to remain accountable for the actions that we take because we all share this place and we're so very lucky to live here. I mean, the group of people that I'm sitting around have lived all over the world. Rusty, you said New York, LA, Nashville, Surge, Canada, Allen, Malaysia. I mean, this is truly an international crowd. And so, you know, to be sitting here with a fine group of people that come from several different perspectives, that's what we can add to this island. We can build upon this island by retaining accountability, true character, and respect for each other.
Yes, and I want to let people know, like Kauai Soapbox is about being able to say, hey, this is a concern, and I just try and be as constructive and, you know, be able to look at, well, what is the reality? And the reality is that the Kalua camp is no longer there, and at present, it's not affordable housing. So that's accurate, correct?
Correct.
You are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. This is Kauai Soapbox, Felicia. And this program is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with the Copper Man and 808 Equipment Rental.
KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K224CQ Moloa'a, K284AL Haleiwa.
The Copper Man. Copper, stainless steel, and galvanized aluminum. We specialize in ornamental and custom work and fabricate and install any kind sheet metal work, residential and commercial. Serving Kauai for over 30 years. We're still talking. HarryConti.com. That's HarryConti.com. Or 639-3456.
.808 Equipment Rentals, providing tractor, bobcat, and BCS tiller services island-wide, including pasture mowing, garden bed raising, vegetation removal, terracing, gravel spreading, and more. 808 Equipment Rentals in Moloa'a. 823-1000.
And this is Felicia. Mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. And we are community radio. Community radio is a little different than National Public Radio, which is very professionally put together, and community radio is volunteers. There's a little bit of federal funding that comes in because we have an emergency broadcast system, but we are just community members coming in, talking stories, sharing songs, volunteers. So anyway, mahalo for listening.
Thank you, Ian, for engineering.
Yes, and I believe I have a caller. Aloha, you're on the air.
I'm there. Can you hear me?
Yes, hello? We can. Yeah. Hello? Yeah, we hear you.
Oh, right on. Well, you know, there is a way. You know, the planning department does take complaints, and they do have an enforcement. And I think maybe in the past, the environments would be different where you would think, oh, it wouldn't matter. But I think nowadays, if you place a complaint about it and push the issue, you could probably make something of that color area. I don't know. But what I was actually calling in for,
it was only 3 years ago. I don't know about that, but go on.
Yeah, it might be by this point. Who knows? But I am personally pushing for tax reform on these big agro lot owners, like grow farm themselves. And so, and the council is talking about looking in property tax, because the method that we're running now is definitely crooked for the small person, because they're not affected by the inflated rates, but that's a different show. The one I wanted to say was I just wanted to support everybody coming down tomorrow and supporting the county council on passing this resolution to urge the state to make a state level commitment to support the nation's constitutional convention. And that's all I really wanted to say.
Okay, and you were there for the discussion on the drug facility, yeah, the drug treatment facility?
It was. I did weigh in on that, and I have one of the major things about that proposal is that although they do have this land acquisition of 5 acres, I believe most of it's in an easement form. However, you know, they don't have funding long term. It's not sustainable, and that's one of the issues that's going to come up on this thing. So I propose that they're only talking about 10 beds, and so I don't think 10 beds takes up that much space. And I told them that they should turn the rest of the acreage into a farming training facility, so that some of the youths that are on the cusp, or you know, even preventative for the ones that aren't even on the cusp, get them active and engaged in learning how to do real sustainable farming, so that they can go to some of these gentlemen farms that maybe has 10 acres and the homes on 2 of it, and then they want to convert over and start actually working the other 8.
Okay,
now,
well,
have a workforce.
Thank you. Thank you for that. And then just for the listener about the county council, we'll have the county council report later in the show, but the other piece is about the collective bargaining agreements for bargaining units 2, 3, and 4. And really, that's something that sounds really mundane and boring, and it's nice to give everybody a pay raise, but that is, we've got financial challenges. Okay, so thank you so much. We'll talk to you another time, okay? Aloha, you're on the air.
Aloha, Felicia and guest.
Hi.
Hi. You know, nobody's brought up the scope of the project as far as what it'll cost to build this tech center. Is it appropriate to mention the sum?
Sure. Well, yeah, you can mention the sum for sure.
It's in excess of $20 million.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's a lot.
You know, right around the corner, we've got people sleeping in the street. You know, you alluded to earlier about that problem on Kauai. And I'm not opposed to the project, but I'm curious as to if this is a economic development project, then why isn't the private sector stepping in. It's such a good deal. Why isn't the private sector stepping in? And, you know, we're closing community hospitals right now, right, or privatizing them.
Right.
We are in financial straits. I went to the meeting today with the governor, luncheon today with the governor.
Did you guys talk about the hospitals?
No, we did not. Okay. Surprisingly,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, I'm surprised about that, too.
I understand the importance of art in our lives, but I'm just curious as to how you rationalize that kind of an expenditure. And I would be happy to take my answer off the air.
You don't have to go off the air quite yet. I have Keppa wanting to say, and then I want to ask you a question. Keppa?
Okay, sure.
Yeah, caller, thank you for bringing that up. You know, that's a very important point to bring up. You know, there's such a limited amount of resources to go around for all these different things we want to do. Obviously, a drug treatment facility for our youth would be an awesome thing. You know, I do see a lot of the changes that affect this island community. And while this answer probably doesn't cover the entire question, like a blanket answer, but I will say that a really smart man once told me that there are three ways to change things on the island. It's politics, education, and violence. And out of all those three, I always choose education. And I truly feel that education, and speaking in terms of the tech center, education is the one investment that benefits everybody.
Well, the other side of the coin is, too, if I may add my two cents, is that the concerns of the caller are greatly appreciated. And that's why I'd like to state that we are already doing this at the Storybook Theater. We're already implementing a program.
So this is Rusty speaking.
Yes.
That's not with the tech center.
Yes. What we've done is, even our approach to the subject matter is to use what's existing, what's already there. Does a student need to buy a $20,000 Pro Tools HD system? No. They can buy a $50 Arturia lexicon system for $50 that comes with the software. And because we've spent the time demystifying that approach, they can sit down and run that software and get in the game and control their own destiny through their own art without having to spend all of that money. And it's a program that's now, happening right now.
And then bringing it a little bit broader, and I definitely would like Alan to weigh in a little bit on where the sources of the money are, because I want to echo my caller here a bit, because he is speaking to, I think, the concerns of most of the audience that are used to hearing the shows here, is that there are really critical problems. Like, when we close our public hospitals, that's who takes care of our kupuna, you know, who maybe have serious mental challenges or different people who have that. There's all kinds of challenges that we really need. Alan, where is this $20 million coming from?
Before I address that, I just want to thank the caller for bringing up the issues.
Yeah,
I think, you know,
important.
As we build our society, it's not just one issue. I think it's a lot of things that we need to focus on that makes a healthy and vibrant society. You know, and I've been involved in other projects that touch some pain points, you know, whether it's dealing with the homeless or dealing with the youth at risk, or whether it's substance abuse kind of issues. Those are real issues. Now, specific to the money for this project, you know, we look at it from the perspective of the funders. I have no authority over the funders and where they should spend the money, but if they're focused on economic development, if they're focused on education, that's where the money is going. So that's where we're getting the money from. Primarily, most of the funding is coming through a lot of foundations. So that's the focus, is that they want to be able to impact a community through education, through technology, through creativity, and that's where the funds are coming from.
Are you saying it's private money?
It's both private and public money.
How much is the public? And the state has already earmarked that for economic development in the neighbor islands?
We have received a $500,000 GIA grant for this session.
GIA?
And that's the grants and aid from the state legislature. And then we have some federal funding sources that are dedicated for economic development. We would like to get that for the island of Kauai.
Okay, so caller?
Yes.
Do you feel okay with the answer there?
I feel okay, but there's one other point I'd like to bring up if you'll indulge me.
Yes, and one of these times, I want to drag you in here. You need
to
come in and help me do a show.
Just
okay.
Don't mention my name. Anyway, you know, when the tech center in Waimea was built, yeah, the intent was a place where people could go and do teleconferencing and you know, with video and those type of, well, no sooner had the concrete dried than the facility was obsolete because of the internet. Yeah, and because of the capabilities of the internet and the way technology leapfrogs, right? So I'm just curious, and I don't know, I'm not a techie at all, as you know, but I'm just curious, and I will take my hands off there because I do not want to monopolize the conversation, but, you know, do we need bricks and mortar? Thank you, and I'll listen. I'll listen for the answer.
Okay,
thank you.
Alan, or Serge?
For me, actually, the Kauai Creative Technology Center, the number one thing about it is a place where we can synergize, where together we can come and create and tell those stories. So whatever your story is, this is the place where you can meet. It's funny because I come from a big city. So I was born in Montreal and lived in L.A. and worked in L.A., went back to Montreal. And I feel more disconnected to people in my industry here on Kauai in a small community. There's this thing, and I don't know how, I can't explain it, the silo mentality where, and we're trying, like, for example, 2 years ago when the Hawaii International Film Festival came back to the island, I was very involved with the process of trying to get everyone on board and to, you know, and it was incredibly difficult. To me, the Creative Technology Center, the primary role of it is to synergize us all so that we can, so, as I said many times, the technology is changing. It's evolving. If Alan and everyone else involved in this process decides that it's going to be a bunch of editing facilities and the rent is going to be $3,000 a month, I guarantee no one will show up there. But I know for a fact that's not what's going to happen because everyone here knows that you can edit from your bedroom, you know, you can edit from your living room if you have a computer. So, but we do need a space to come together. We do need an incubator. We do need to mix with each other. And I can tell you, just talking about the Creative Technology Center has introduced me just today with Rusty that I just read about, but I'm going to talk to you after the show. I need to talk to you. And the technology, same thing happened with Kevin Matsunaga. I teach at KCC. Chiefess is across the street. It's through the Creative Technology Center that we got to talk together. I'm teaching kids college with middle school. We're going to focus on video production, special effects, and things of that nature. This is the true potential of the Creative Technology Center, is to synergize us.
We got to get you on Facebook. Okay, go ahead.
You know, this is really interesting, Serge. Thank you so much for saying that. I've been privileged to work in other communities up in Washington and Oregon, as well as New Mexico and Arizona, and working with Native American storytellers. And it's amazing what they are doing. I mean, some of the films are, some of it is incredibly funny, and it can only be told by a Native American about their own culture, about their own tribe. But one of the elders was talking about, it's not about just talking about issues. You know, to really improve our society, to really improve future generations, it's about talking about values. And sometimes we kind of lose sight of that because we are rushing to make money. We're rushing to do other things. But we forget about the root of why we do things. And so, you know, when I hear about those kind of stories, those are really powerful. Those are the pillars that we build our society on. It's those kind of values. Now, it doesn't have to be, well, those are your values and these are his values and those are her values. I think we can all learn from each other's values. And storytelling is a very powerful way. It's a very personal way of really sharing that information so we can all benefit. And it brings people together. And I think if that's the goal, is to bring people together, then this is definitely a worthwhile venture that we need to look into.
Well, I'm glad to hear that there is some private monies coming in. I'm going to ask you some questions that are a little harder questions to ask or maybe to answer. One is when, you know, I went to the county council presentation that you made, and I believe that the construction on this is like 3 years, 3 to 5 years. Is that correct?
The process is going to be 3 to 5 years. It all depends on how quickly we get permits and when we get the funding and the whole process.
People are going to be banging nails for 3 to 5 years?
Oh, no, that's not the construction period. I think what we're looking at is, you know, how long would it take for this project to basically open his doors. And so there's going to be a process where you're not going to see anything because we're busy behind the scenes raising money, getting all the
permission. How long are they going to be banging nails?
Our best estimate right now, coming from one of our advisors, is probably anywhere from 12 to 15 months.
Okay, I'm asking that. We get used to having nails banging around us, but banging nails again next to an existing facility might be a little challenging. Is that those nails going to be banging during the day, or like will there be some sort of people have got an event going on? Are they going to bang through the play?
That's an excellent question. We are not at a stage of actually planning out the construction schedule. But we have been talking with the manager of the convention hall, and when we get to that stage, that's where we need to be working out those details. And we have also been talking to some of the neighbors around there to first of all make them aware of it. But when we get to that stage, this is where we need to kind of work out some of those details that would be...
Okay, here's another question, and you're going to start hearing some of my bias in here. I'm pretty politically involved. How likely is it that you're going to be using locally based construction companies? Because something I see at council meeting after council meeting is the people saying, oh yeah, you know, we're providing 800 jobs or 300 jobs or whatever, and then I sit on a plane full of construction workers coming to lay concrete, or, you know, and I honestly, I have a problem with that. How are we going to know if you're going to be utilizing locally based people to build this, or are you, or is it, you know?
So that would be our priorities, to use as much local talent as possible. And, you know, I mean, it increases the cost of the project, and if I don't have to increase the cost of the project, I don't have to raise the money for it. But when you talk about, available talent, that is the reason why we're building the center. So using, not so much the construction, but using the film industry as an example. When they come in and film here and use beautiful Kauai as the backdrop, as their sound stage, they have to bring in their own crew, because you just can't have anybody step onto the set. And so one of our goals is actually to train local talent so that they can work in the industry and be part of that. And so I think this is what we hope to do with the project, is kind of reverse that, to make sure that you know, if people have the desire to work in the industry, they get the training and then can be able to provide that. So we don't have to import the talent all the time.
So I'm going to push on that point too. Are we looking at Steven Spielberg? Are we looking at what kind of, you know, we have some of the best that end up showing up here and making the films. Is this designed for them? Is it designed for Kepa? Is this, I'm not putting you down, Kepa. I'm not calling you Steven Spielberg. But
I would say it's designed for all.
So it's designed for the spectrum. So what happens if a big Pirates of the Caribbean or whatever is the fresh version of that, because now that we're on the fifth or sixth round, it becomes not such a big deal. But do they rent out the whole space for 5 months or a year and nobody else can utilize it during that window?
That's an excellent question. Actually, that's been a question that was discussed earlier on. And we actually talked to some of the studios to take a look at what their needs are. When they come to Kauai, they really want to use the natural environment as the backdrop. And what we're providing is just to be able to supplement their production. But in the anticipation of that, what we hope is to build a design center where we can parse it out, that the community will not be blocked out of it. There would be a section to be closed off for the production studios. How we designed that, you know, up to this point, we didn't really have the facility. So now that we actually have the space, we're going to have to be very creative in how we do that. But those are our guiding principles, so that we don't have the local community being locked out. And frankly, we do need the film studios to come here, because they're not going to be paying Kama'aina rates. I can tell you that.
So, again, like, given my background in what this show is and where this comes from, and I just spoke about the complete disconnect, what we saw, I couldn't get a ticket. I really wanted to go to this event today. I was unable to get a ticket. But when the discussion is on a completely different happy layer, like everything's all fine, and there's another layer where people aren't saying everything's all fine. So a concern people might have is that when this design phase is going in, that they're talking to the happy layer, you know, which is the people who are going to make money off the project, who have a home to go put their head on at night, who are really happy with the economic structure and the political structure that's in place. So how do we make sure that in this design process that the often isolated voice is brought into it, because when we talk about the sound stage of being Kauai, I'm not sure everybody is all sold on that idea, right? I know the waterfall right next to my home, which is gorgeous. Now I get to see it in commercials on national television. I see it in movies. It's our local playground that we can't walk to anymore, right? So what often does happen is really good areas get shut off to the community permanently. In the case of Kilauea, should I mention names? I guess I won't, but I want to. We have an individual who bought a piece of property there who made a commitment when they got activists like moi to say, all right, it's okay. They said, okay, you know what? We're going to open up access to the waterfalls. As soon as that happened, well, they found a way to get around that. And so there are many beautiful places, like when we have a big parcel of land right here that is being marketed as a private property, the low end of these homes, the small little duplex units will sell for $2.8 million. I don't know how much the average person makes here, but probably can't buy that. So when we are really catering to the uber rich, a concern is how do we not be marginalized out to the edges? Now, I'm hearing overall this is a way that people can participate and be part of it, but maybe where do we make sure that there's not deep exploitation? Like, how do we make sure that your project isn't bitterly fought as it's almost ready to open?
So I think that's an excellent question. So let me just reframe part of the what you said. First of all, it's not my project. This is a project for the people of Kauai. This has been generated from, actually started with a vision from the county council, from Nadine Nakamura when she was a council member. And this project is done under the auspices of the Kauai Economic Development Board.
Which brought us things like the West Side Development Center, very specifically brought us the biotech industry, brought us many of the projects that are bitterly fought. So we want to look at how we cannot do that.
So okay. let me give you some perspective. I think earlier Kepa had talked about accountability, and that's one of the values. When you say, how do we have any assurance that we're just not catering this to the uber rich? I think you're looking at the people that's going to be having a voice. You are having a voice, which is why Kepa and Serge and Rusty and a whole host of other folks have been involved in this project. I mean, I don't want to put you guys down, but you're not the uber-rich film studios coming in here.
Absolutely.
They're not having a seat at the table. We did go talk to them to find out what their needs are. But in the governance and the decision of what this, how this center will be run, I think we have the community stepping up and you know, putting voice to that.
I just want to say there's an expression. It's called the digital divide. The digital divide is basically people who will not be able, and it's happening actually right now. If you cannot, if you don't know the technology, if you don't know, because we live, it has happened. So, my mother, for example, she's having a hard time deal with the technology, and it's often the case. It's like my brother ended up buying her an iPad, and she's trying to figure out, but she hates it and everything. My 11-year-old has built her website. They're going on GarageBand on their own. They're creating there are people out there that are actually embracing the technology because you don't have a choice. To me, I think the creative technology center will allow people. It allows democratically to spread that knowledge around precisely so that the divide does not get greater. And still provide a chance with someone that would not have a voice to have a voice. To me, it actually is an equalizer. It provides equal opportunity because you need those skills, whether you want it or not, whether you see it or not, whether you agree with it or not. In 2015, you need to be digitally savvy. You need to know what you're doing, and otherwise, it's like language. I say that often, is that we've come to a point where imagine you don't know how to write, you don't know how to count, you don't know how much of at a disadvantage you are. So the digital, the creative
this
technology.
This is how we communicate, Kepa.
Yes.
Yeah, just to specifically answer your question, Felicia, about that, about the economic board bringing in outside entities which have led to a little bit of exploitation of our island. I think what this is this represents a chance for us to be proactive and to responsibly manage it from within. By creating our own opportunities, we set the standard, and we are allowed to responsibly manage who and where the resources go. And I think that's a first. That's the first step for us as far as identifying potential economic industries. And I think that Rusty's doing a great job because he's already proactive. He's already doing what we want to do, and he's starting and using resources that are already available.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You are listening to KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea. This is Felicia with Kauai Soapbox, and we are having a discussion on media opportunities. And this is Rusty Feraldi.
Hi, good afternoon. I have a question about ethicism and the projects that the Media Center is going to be doing, seeing that this is going to be open to the public and to filmmakers at large. If there's the budget, they're going to come in and use the facility. Who's going to make the decision on the ethicism of a film, whether you're going to do it or not? And I'll put this in, I'll frame it a certain way. When I was younger than I am today, earlier in my career, it's a better way to frame it, I was approached by the Vivint Company to do audio post-production for X-rated movies, and I didn't do it. I wouldn't do it. Even though they said, look, you don't have to use your own name. Nobody uses your own name. We just need, we need you to do the audio post-production. And they threw an incredible number past my face, and I still turned it down because that was my own personal ethicism. Where is and who will be established with the ethicism of the type of projects that this media center is going to produce? Because let me tell you, $4 to $7 billion worldwide for X-rated movies, they have the budget. So who's going to say no to them?
That's a great question, and those are the tough questions that we need to answer. But actually, it's not that tough. I think there are a lot of funders that we have to be accountable for. Number one, the county. I think we have to abide by the rules.
I'm sure.
But there are a lot of foundations who have certain rules of what they want to fund and don't fund. So we number one, have to subscribe to that. Number two, we're going to have a board of governors, a board that will be running this facility. This is a nonprofit facility, and it's going to be made out of members of the community as well as members of the county as well. And it's going to be the morality, the ethics part of the community that is going to give voice to it, that's going to give us guidance.
Yes. And I want to say, when I framed this question in the first place, I'm sort of volunteering, too, I'm sure KKCR would be really happy to keep this conversation going. And when we talked about this cultural divide, that there are a part of the community that maybe isn't always as excited about the decisions that the other side of the community is excited to hear about. Well, if you keep everybody in the discussion from early on, it's a good way to make it work out. And I'm kind of excited about this concept because, while I agree with my one caller, $20 million is a lot of money, but I think that this is a good piece. By the way, I used to be the president of the North Shore Business Council, and we tried to do a film and sound studio when the West Side got the West Side Development Center. Dan Inouye kind of helped both sides out, and he offered us East $6 million. And no matter what we came up with, we could not get the North Shore to want any of the projects that we came up with. So we ended up not creating any of it. I have a caller on the air. Aloha, thank you for holding. You're on the air. Oh, could you please turn down your radio? Okay. Do you have the radio off?
I'm here. I'm here.
You're on the air.
Yeah. Felicia.
Yes.
Sorry for calling in twice, but no, what a great opportunity for everybody that lives on Kauai to make a living without spraying pesticides, without spraying, triple D4, all this stuff. And the class that these guys are offering, is that correct?
It's more than a class, but there are different classes that are offered currently, and
if someone's
it's a
really
whole
gung-ho
industry.
And wants to jump on the wagon, where do they go? What do they do to get involved?
Well, the first thing you could do is you could enroll at the Storybook Theater to start to understand what the digital audio recording workstation is all about.
Okay, so that Storybook Theater is the starting place.
Yeah, I would say.
Do you have a phone number? Yeah.
Well, they can call me at 808-639-6846.
Okay.
And I can field all your information and put you in the right place and direction and get you started.
And Serge, do you have a recommendation, like with KCC or any of these other things?
Yeah, so at KCC we offer all kinds of classes, so video production, graphic design.
Well, I'm very well aware of all that.
Okay.
It sounds like that you have some new technology that you're offering the island.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes, and Serge is a new gift to Kauai Community College.
Exactly.
I mean, like, here's the thing, like, you cut him off, but maybe you know, but maybe not everybody else does. So Serge is one of these people who is so overskilled for the job that he's in. And so that's a beautiful thing here. Serge, let Serge tell them, how did they find Kauai Community College where they would go and they could register at a class there, right?
Well, I was going to say, it depends on what your needs are, right? So, like,
I just want to be able to portray my story in the best possible light I can.
Okay.
Because we talked earlier about OEK Television, that is a fantastic resource. They even train you and tell you.
But then you look like a monologue.
What?
Come on.
No, you can.
On
you can
OEK,
make.
If you get up and spill your spiel, you look like a monologue.
But you can make your own film.
You
can make your own film on your own, and then you give it.
Then it gets aired.
Then it gets aired. You give them a
tape. I need these guys as tools to be able to do that, right?
Yeah, but then the question is, are you willing to commit to 6 months, a year, 2 years of studying the trade to make it professionally looking? So the question is, if your answer is yes, well, enroll in digital media arts at KCC or start with an OSET class at KCC.
Office of Continuing Education and Training.
That's it. If your thing is audio recording, well, then give Rusty a call. It really depends what you want to do. So I would say.
What you want to do, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, cool. Thanks for clarifying this with me. And, you know, I'm still stoked on this whole idea. I thank mahalo to Graham Nash for contributing to this. And, you know, I mean, we've got so much positive stuff happening over here. It's just. Takes people that got a little initiative to get up off their acole and go get it, you know?
And caller, you said what programs, what classes, what is offered right now. So this is what's offered right now. But as we've been talking with Alan and different people, you know, like we have right now, like we've called it the pipeline. So basically, like I have daughters, like one was going at Wilcox Elementary. So
right.
Mr. H had a fantastic video program. Then the kids graduate. They go to middle schools. They have video programs there. Then they move on to high schools. Then the pipeline, the theory is that if you are pursuing this as a career, you go to KCC. And the point is, I think right now, we've just listed and talked briefly about what exists now. But I think the Creative Technology Center is actually, it's the cherry on top of the sundae in the sense that in a couple of years,
if you got the prime cherry, then you got a good story to tell, right?
That's right. So thank you. Thank you, caller.
Amen.
Thank you, caller.
Aloha.
I think what he's touching upon is that, he's absolutely right. What people should do if they're interested is seek out places that are currently teaching and educating people, you know, Rusty's spot on the west side, seek out Serge at KCC, you know, talk to your local schools, and in time, the tech center would just definitely add another layer.
And I want to give a shout out to the general store of Hanalei, which is in the old Qingyang village, and that is Carlos Detro has that place, and you can go in there. It's the old Qingyang store, Red Front. He has got a whole learning center up there, and he would really love to have, like, Rusty and people like that up there. Like, that's a west side place, we can have a North Shore place. There's all kinds of ways, and KCC with their Office of Continuing Education and Training, which is a shorter way of learning, if there's enough people, they will come and teach in other locations. Do we have another holder?
Yeah, we have another call.
Okay, thank you so much for holding.
Okay.
You're on the air.
Hi.
Aloha.
It's me, Journey, up here.
Yes. Oh, hey! Journey. Thank you for calling in. I gave the listener a little bit of a heads up about you going to Washington, D.C. You're going to be representing the Lakota people. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So talk right into your phone and tell us about it.
Okay. Hi, I'm Journey Zephyr. I'm 15 years old, and I attend Kanui Kapono Charter School. I have been honored as a Native youth leader and invited to President Obama's Native Youth Gathering at the White House, July 8th to 10th. I am the local director of Earth Guardians Kauai and a member of the RISE Global Youth Council. This is a council of 16 youth leaders from around the world working to find solutions locally and globally for climate change, environmental and social problems our generation faces.
So, your father's going to meet you out there, is that right?
Yes.
And he's got a leadership position with the Lakota people, is that correct?
Yes.
What is that?
He's the chief.
So he is meeting you out there. That's really special. And is he going to stay for that week?
I believe so.
And, Journey, I want to really recognize you, that you have been definitely one to speak truth to power on a lot of different issues for being, now you're 15, but when you've been 13, you have used media and you have come and been able to speak your truth at the council and many other places. Are you going to be filming what you're doing there? That's a big buzz. Say yes and do it.
Yeah. I'm going to be taking lots of social media.
And so what is going to be your main media? Are you going to use like a GoPro camera? Are you going to use a regular filming camera or stills?
I'm going to be using a phone.
A phone. And will they be motion? Or because a phone can take moving pictures too, right? I don't have
one.
Yeah,
I'm going to be taking videos and photos.
Okay, and then I would love it when you come back. I'd like to introduce you to some of these men in this room because you're good at telling your story.
I want to meet you because I'm doing a lot of projects with youth. And, you know, like one thing is this Na Wili Wili project we just did recently. It's like people think that most young people, all they care about is the video game and things like that. And actually, it's not true. And it's a matter of finding, you know, the ones that have a voice, that have something to say. And so, you know, we're always looking for stories and models. And I'm definitely through maybe Felicia or something.
How's the journey? This is Kepa.
Hi.
Yeah.
And Kepa, you got a GoFundMe now. I have to be very subtle about that, but what would somebody look at? Because I know that this is a bit financially out of the reach of your family. It's a challenge, but I see that a number of people have donated. And if people can look on my Facebook wall, Felicia Olanji Cowden, and there is a GoFundMe there. But is there a name for your GoFundMe? But do not mention any kind of numerical amounts. What's your GoFundMe account called? Are you still there?
Still there.
I might have lost him. It might have lost on the other end. Okay.
Hold on,
anyway.
Is he still there?
Are you there?
Huh? Yeah.
Okay. So what's your GoFundMe account named?
www.gofundme.com/journeysuphere.
Journey, Journey. Spell your last name.
CECHIER.
IER. Z like zebra. E. P like Peter. H. IER like Rick. Okay. I hope you have a wonderful trip and thank you so much for calling it in. And thank you for being a youth leader from our community.
Do you take another call?
Aloha.
Here you go. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. Hey. Been listening to... phone line's a little messed up.
Sorry, but you're on there now. Can you turn your radio off, please?
I can. Hold on just a moment. So I'm calling in because, first of all, I think I'm really a supporter of the Technology Center. I work in the film industry, so I wanted to get a little clarification on a couple of points. But first of all, one of the things I heard you say, Felicia, is something about divided communities, and maybe I took from that that there may be some parts of our community, of the Kauai community, may be more or less supporters of the Technology Center. And I've found in working in...
I wasn't actually trying to infer that, so let me correct that. I'm not saying people like it and other people's don't. I'm saying that there are almost two separate conversations that I hear. I'll be in one group that happens to be the group that has really spawned this great idea.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm sitting in that room, normally I do not hear a discussion that I'm hearing with the other group that typically is on the air here, who maybe might feel that the decisions from our power structure don't necessarily reflect what's important to them. I'm not suggesting that there's a divide on the Technology Center. There might be. I haven't heard about that.
Okay. Well, that's good to know, because the film industry is, in my experience, one of the most integrated industries in the state. You have people from all different. You have people who've lived here all their lives, of local Polynesian, Asian backgrounds, working with people who are Haoles who are born on the mainland. I think it's I've really rejoiced in that. One thing I wanted to ask and get to was the discussion earlier around the bottom of the hour. You all were talking about the budget and renting the facility out, and I'm wondering, is the planning for the facility and looking at expenses for operating the facility based in part on projections of renting it to the big budget type of big budget film companies that you were talking about?
So this is Alan. Let me answer that.
Yeah.
We actually had developed a business plan. Now the business plan is about two and a half years old. It was based on a concept. So now that we actually have the land and we can, know how much land we can build on the facility, we need to reconfigure it. But we're going to take the same approach, and that's basically the revenue sources are going to come from the rental of the facility for people who want to use it, the mm-hmm. rental of equipment for folks who want to can't afford to buy their own equipment or just want to have the latest gadget, from classes, from programs, and also from some independent productions, depending on whoever is running the facility and how they want to do that. There is going to be a community rate, so they want to make sure that there is not going to be a financial barrier for folks on the island, and there will be a different rate for out-of-town production facilities. So that needs to be managed or massaged more as we do the second phase of the business plan, and folks are welcome to weigh in on that. But we have been advised that we really needed to consider the economy of Kauai when we look at the pricing. So we took a look at similar pricings, structures here, so that it is consistent with what the residents here can afford, and we built a budget around it so that the project can be sustainable.
That's excellent. It's the pitfall that I find often is that budgets will be based in part on these other fees. Okay, we can rent at lower rates to the local people, but then we project that we will have X amount of dollars coming in at a much higher rate, two or three times the rate, whatever it is, of the local Kama'aina rate. And what my experience tells me is that of the pre-production you'll have rentals from large productions, the Steven Spielbergs, as you were mentioning earlier, and during principal photography you'll have that, but post-production they're gone. My experience is that they're pretty much, they've done their thing, and they're going to go back to wherever their main studios are.
You're exactly right. And so when we talk to some of the production facilities, our project isn't intended to to replace some of what they're doing. So if they're going to do any posts, what I was told is that they might want to do some test footage, but they're not going to edit and finish the film here. That would be not reasonable for us to have that. So we did not project that into our budget.
And you
seem to have a lot of astute understanding of the industry. I would welcome you to join our team and give us some guidance on how we can move forward on this project.
How does one get a hold of you?
My recommendation is to give the KEDB office a call and leave your name for me.
Economic Development Board.
Great.
So
thank you, Felicia. Yeah, right. And I'm based on Oahu. I'm here on island pretty often, but of course, with telephone, text, and emails, I can be in constant contact. But we'd love to have your participation.
Is that George Costa's office?
No.
No, that's the mayor's office. That's the Office of Economic Development. This is the Kauai Economic Development Board.
So perhaps we can look up a phone number on that. Anybody, do you have the phone number? They're looking for it.
Okay,
so we'll announce it.
The other brief comment is I thought there was some very interesting question that one of the guests brought up, and that was about, making qualitative decisions
ethical decisions.
Thank you, Felicia. Yes, about that, and brought up the example of porn. Well, I think that's pretty clear. We're probably not going to be the locals are not going to support using that for porn facilities. But when you get into the finer points, you can use an example of Cameron Crowe's recent film Aloha, which came into the state, and I think it's kind of now pretty obvious, came into the state as quote the Cameron Crowe film. Which they didn't name it, because I believe they always knew the name for it, and they didn't name it while it was working here because they knew it would have gotten some flack. And so you get into that, and you get into where are you going to read the scripts and make decisions about how it reflects the Hawaiian culture and things like that. I don't have the answer to that, but I think that's a really interesting discussion to pursue, and I'd be happy to contact you all and get involved with my availability.
So, caller, do you have a pencil?
I do. I actually have a Sharpie. That's more film industry accurate anyway.
Kauai Economic Development Board, that phone number is 245-6692, and you could do info@kedb.com. And Alan Tang is who you are really looking for. And Alan, do you have a contact that's specifically your interface at KEDB?
You can send information to Susan Tai Kaneko. She's the executive director.
Susan Tai Kaneko.
Yeah, and she'll connect you to me.
Okay.
I just want
great. Thank
add,
you very much.
And
Felicia, thank
caller.
You for doing an interesting subject today.
And Rusty wants to say something.
Caller, this is Rusty Feraldi.
Sure.
The reason why I brought up, and I used porn, but it doesn't have to necessarily be that. It could be an overly violent movie. It could be an exploitation movie. It could be... And that's what the questions have to be asked, because, there is a saying, if you're probably aware of this, working as diligently in the film industry as you purport, and that is, it's the idea of you pay, we care. And I think that should be the last thing in the mind here.
And we have Art Umezu here, who is the film coordinator for the county. And we have... The county is at some level involved. Is that correct? So I'm getting nods here, but I'm not getting voices.
Art has been a very strong supporter of the center, and he's done a lot of great work for the island. And
he's the film commissioner for Kauai County.
That's right.
And back to your point, yes, about the ethical decisions. I think that'll be really interesting, because I know as an individual who has some ethical boundaries in my own life, I have to make choices at times about what things I want to work on and things I don't.
Absolutely.
And that type of thing. So anyway, again, I'll let you go, and I congratulate you on your hard work. Thank you for all you're doing, and thank you, Felicia, again.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you. And Serge, do you have something you want to add?
Well, as far as the film commissioner's role, the county is, there's actually changes that will take place, that have to take place. And right now, I don't know, it was announced with the mayor's but it's not publicly known. Art is no longer the film commissioner, from my understanding anyway. And so Randy Francisco is one of the person that has moved from the chamber to the county, but I think the county has to make that maybe more public. That's why I was nodding, is like Art has done a great job, and but I think now I don't even know where he's moved to, but okay. he has moved to other responsibilities.
So Kalamai, for calling out a name, I meant really the film commissioner for the county. I imagine it would continue to stay involved in choices.
We are working very closely with the county. I think the caller might have mentioned the Office of Economic Development, Director mm-hmm. George Costa. George Costa has actually been involved from this project from day one. And so, yeah, actually, this has been a collaboration, from the private sector, from the county council. When they voted to fund the project and to give us the land, it was unanimous support from all of the council members. The mayor is very supportive, and we actually have gone to all of your state legislators, and they'll be supportive, which is one of the reasons why we got a grant and aid from the legislature, as well as we've talked to all of our congressional delegation to make sure they're aware of it, because we're seeking federal funding as well.
And I would like to support what you're saying, is that so far I've seen nothing but green lights on your project. So I wasn't meaning that, I might have confused the last caller, I wasn't meaning that people are giving red flags. I just tend to know red flags come up if we don't invite that feedback. And this is a show where red flags get waved to me. So this is a proactive step, saying, here's a big project that's underway. And we're going to have Jazz with John, Gordon, really soon. He's looking at the clock. He's in here smiling. He's definitely somebody who's a big supporter of the arts. So we have, this is KKCR inviting into the room some opportunities for development. What I see, I personally see a lot of wins in this. I see wins all over the place. Wins for the person who wants to express their voice and opinion because they need to create awareness or change. I see wins in this for the artist. I see wins in this for the person who wants to learn a skill that's marketable, that is enjoyable, that can work here. I see this is many, many good aspects to it, and I'm just acknowledging that every coin has two sides, and so if somebody has ideas that maybe they talk to KEDB, or that you, which ways are you open if people have concerns or ideas of how to develop this in a really Pono way?
So let me just kind of reemphasize, this is the project for the people of Kauai. It's been run, through that aspect, and this project didn't pop up overnight. We've been looking at it for the last 4 years, and I'm continuing to meet people. I mean, I got connected with Rusty a few weeks ago, and I'm looking to have more connections and have more conversations. And the more conversations we have, the more ideas we have. I mean, ultimately, we can't do all of the ideas. There's not enough space or funding for it, but it's good to have that exchange, and new ideas will come out of it as we get together. You know, when we were waiting for the council to vote on giving us the land to use, it was a long process. We're sitting and waiting for the discussions and all. I was pretty much biting off my fingernails, because it would be great to get this land. But the other side of me was also thinking, I'm pretty confident we will. We're just going through our process. And what I realized is the amount of work that needs to be done. And for this project to be successful, we need a lot of people coming together, bringing their ideas, but sharing the burden, sharing the load. Because for this to be successful, everybody needs to pitch in. And ultimately, like I said, I'm just a facilitator in this process. But you know how to use this facility, the programs, what would be best for the people of Kauai. And so people coming together, if they have concerns or thoughts or ideas, this is the time to actually, this is really the beginning of the project. I mean, we have gotten the land, we have spent a lot of time developing, the proof of concept here, but this is really the time for all of us to come together and kind of redesign this process moving forward.
Well, if I can start, though, if there's a student and somebody listening, they shouldn't wait for these doors to open on your facility. They should seek out their education now.
Yeah.
Because for things like what we're doing at Storybook Theater, we're basically grooming your student for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. We're doing that today.
And we want to work with you in partnership. It might be 2 or 3 years before we actually see the door opens, but this is a lot of time where we're actually having this dialogue that we can be doing things now and having impact now, so when the door opens, we could have a very robust and really vibrant participation from the entire community.
Exactly. We need to be doing this now, and we are ready to hear the County Council report. I appreciate all of you being in here.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So we've
Felicia.
Got this connection of people. Alan, who's from Oahu, but you do big projects, and you've got the know-how to do this. We've got the County of Kauai working in partnership with Kauai Economic Development Board. We've seen lots of success from both of those organizations. We've got Surge, an example of highly skilled people who are here that can just really bring it up a step. Same with Rusty. And then Kepa, you are a good example of a bridge into, not that it's all about younger people, but you have a really deep roots in the community, and at 33, you are a good bridge age.
My oldest student was 70 years old.
Yeah, well, and we got, yeah.
Never too late to learn.
Never too late to learn.
Never too young to learn.
All four of you say aloha, and then Kauai Soapbox is out with the County Council report of what's happening tomorrow starting at 8:30.
Mahalo. Thank you.
Aloha. Aloha, listeners. Thank you.
Aloha, Kauai.
Aloha.
Aloha, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's a County Council report for the week of June 8th. There will be a public hearing and a council committee meeting on Wednesday. The public hearing will start at 8:30 a.m. and is on Bill 2588 for an ordinance approving a collective bargaining agreement for bargaining units 2, 3, and 4 between July 1, 2015 and June 30, 2017. After the hearing, the council will convene the committee meeting. Both the hearing and the meeting will be in the council chambers in Lihue. Here are some highlights in the committee meeting agenda. The committee of the whole has on their agenda Bill 2588 for an ordinance approving the collective bargaining agreement for bargaining units 2, 3, and 4 between July 1, 2015 and June 30, 2017. And this was a bill in a public hearing held at 8:30 a.m. This committee also has on their agenda Resolution Number 2015-44, Draft 1, a resolution urging Hawaii's congressional delegation to address excessive campaign spending by proposing and passing amendments clarifying not people with constitutional rights, in particular electoral rights, and that unlimited campaign spending is not free speech. And this was referred from June 3, 2015. For more information, visit the county's website at www.kauai.gov. Until next week, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Aloha.
And a very interesting program again, Felicia. And stay tuned for Jazz with John coming up next. And Jazz with John is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Kauai Coffee, the Dolphin Restaurant, Kamala Ukulele, and Tiki Aneke.
Kauai Coffee, 100% pure Hawaiian, single-origin, GMO-free coffee. Grown and roasted here on the Garden Island, at retail locations island-wide on all the Hawaiian Islands, and at our estate on Highway 540 between Kalaheo and Ali'ali, where walking tours and coffee tasting are also available. More information and ordering online at kauaicoffee.com.
The Dolphin Restaurant Fish Market and Sushi Lounge in Hanalei and Poipu. Local gourmet sushi, fresh fish daily, steaks and seafood, and specialty cocktails. Dining on our lanai at the Poipu Restaurant with panoramic sunset and ocean views. The Dolphin Restaurant Fish Market and Sushi Lounge. Information online at thedolphinkauai.com.
Kamoa Ukulele Company, dedicated to building high-quality bell-tone instruments. Built with a one-player-at-a-time philosophy, from student models up to custom masterpieces. Kamoa Ukulele Company, a family-owned business, supports KKCR. 652-9999 or online at kamoaukulelecompany.com.
Announcing Saturday and Sunday brunch at Tiki Aniki, 8:30 to 2:30. Lunch, dinner, late night, and now brunch at Tiki Aniki in the Princeville Center. Fine dining in a wild setting. 431-4242.
And a big mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. Jazz with John is coming up. Here's our theme yesterday is we've got a great show, some antiques and some new stuff. So stand by.